Welcome. Haha, stole it.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Pat.
How's it going?
Good, man. I'm tired.
Me too. I was just thinking about how we start this podcast talking about jet lag, but because we're in Australia.
And now
we're talking about jet lag, but because we're back home.
Yes. It hurts, man.
It sucks. I woke up at 1 in the morning again.
I think I went to bed at 2 because I was cleaning the house. I got like a cleaning spurt and I was like wiping the fucking floor and everything. And I went to bed late and then I woke up at 11:30.
Wow.
And I never do that.
Well,
but what can you do, man?
Happens. Yeah.
Jet lag gets you.
Yeah. We just got back from an awesome tour in Australia.
Yeah.
Had some sold out shows and it was crazy. It was awesome.
It's kick ass.
Good
gigs.
Yes. So if you're joining us for the first time, this is the 8123 podcast. I'm Pat.
I'm Garrett.
And we are two-fifths of a band called The Main. And every week we talk to someone cool.
Yeah.
And,
this week was a cool one.
Yeah. It's Austin from Water Parks. We are just on tour with them in Australia and we, kidnapped him and brought him into our hotel room.
Yeah. Going into it, this is the first talk that we haven't really known the person going into it. So I was like, I don't know what this is going to be like. And then it ended up being a good time. And he's definitely a out there dude in a cool way.
Yeah, I think like instantly in the conversation, you'll kind of get an idea for what he's like. And he's an interesting guy.
And
for sure.
He knows what he
really
wants.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. He knows what he's trying to get done.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's cool. It's a good talk. We kind of go a lot of places with it. So
yeah, heck yeah. Well, yeah, we are just home right now, enjoying being off, and then we go back on tour in April. So you can come and watch us play shows.
Yeah.
So
more shows.
Cool. Well, enjoy the chat with Austin. Sorry, the audio is a little funky because we were recording it in a hotel room, not in a studio. So. But
forgive us.
It is good content of conversation. Audio quality maybe not as good, but good talk. So.
Good day to you.
Later.
You want to be involved with that? Okay,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Here.
Okay.
So we can get it.
All right, ready?
1, 2, 3.
Hey.
Oh, that was great. There's a little slap back, too.
I like it. It's whammy.
How was your coffee?
It was okay. I was trying to get something cool, and I went to a few places. Like, I'd go in there, and it was just like tall black. I was like, sounds kind of boring. Yeah. And so I'm trying to find the exotic stuff, you know what I'm saying?
The little funky stuff.
Yeah. So I wound up just settling for like a mocha thing. It was all right.
I went to Black Gold Coffee.
Ooh, that's a cool name.
OCD Obsessive Coffee Disorder.
Ooh.
That's what it stands for.
Was it good?
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Okay, okay.
I feel
pretty
like,
good is...
I feel all fucking jittery right now.
Right, okay. So it did its job. It the function's there. Yeah.
How's jet lag treating you?
Dude, I'm actually fine, I think. Yeah. Like, whoa, I used to have that exact same backpack.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I noticed you have a white version of it.
Yeah. That's the new one because... Josh at our management, he's been giving me backpacks and stuff, but like he saw mine on Instagram. He was like, "Yo, that looks like shit. I got you a new one." I was like, "Oh fuck yeah, thank you."
That's awesome.
It's a pretty good backpack.
Yeah.
God, does your back get really hot?
Yes. Yes, it does.
It's super weird. My back gets like. Mm-hmm.
It's super like when you take it off, you realize that you're like kind of like wet back there.
Yeah,
you know
it's
what
fucking
I mean?
Weird.
Yeah.
God, yeah. I feel like last night I slept like good for the first night.
That's awesome.
Like, I got like. 8 hours, like...
Yeah. Well, dude, pretty much every night out here, every time I wake up, I'm like, oh, God, I feel like I slept forever.
Yeah.
it's been nice.
Yeah.
It's pretty weird. I don't get it. Yeah. Fucking jet lag.
Are you guys good on it?
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, you just have to, like, accept that you're just going to be tired. Like,
well, see, like we're kind of... Okay, The thing is, I always get super fucked up when we go to Europe or the UK, just because it's like, that's in the middle.
This is only a few hours
off from like what we're normally doing.
But it's just a day.
So it's
that's kind of how I figured it out. I was like, okay, if I just think that we're 6 hours behind,
right.
instead of being like
exactly, that's how I look at it. Yeah,
that's weird.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It makes more sense.
I don't pretend I know what day it is out here.
Pat's had a really long birthday.
Yeah, longest birthday
that's,
ever.
Ooh, dude. Kinda, you get to have a birthday
awesome
here,
though, yeah.
and then again the next day, but from everybody else in the world. That's sick, actually. Damn.
I was thinking about. This morning we were talking last night at dinner, and you guys were saying that you started in college or like what would have been in college, and thinking like it's kind of crazy because that's like late, you know, like for like most bands, you know,
for sure
you guys got started late. Was that you just couldn't get something going before that?
I mean, I've been doing bands since I was like 13. They're all just like, I mean, they were fun and they were good learning experiences. And I kind of learned what to do and what not to do.
Yeah.
And so with this one, I was like, okay, look, I'm 19. I need to if I'm going to do a band, I'm going to do it right.
Yeah.
And so this time around I was like smart about it. You know, we didn't rush into shows or touring or anything like that. It was like, let's make some really good music, some cool like art and imagery around it. And when it's time for a show, actually plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think like that's kind of exactly what we did with this band.
Yeah.
Like we were in like bands before, just like everyone else doing a local band. And then like this time we're like, all right, we're going to like plan out like what we're going to wear for
it's,
the show.
It's not just like, let's
like
just play at the smoothie shop every weekend. It's not like that anymore. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like we put so much more effort like in the beginning and actually had like a vision of how we wanted things to look like sound like and what kind of bands we wanted to go and tour with. And
a band's
stuff.
Not like, just an audible thing. And when they treat it like it is, you know, it shows it's boring.
Yeah.
So
like,
I think it's one of those things too. It's just like, it's not calculated as somebody, like when there's like a really cool band, it's so fucking calculated.
Right.
It's like they're down to like what they're saying and like and what they're, it's like, it's fucking weird.
Yeah. I think people can tell when it's authentic and when it's not.
Totally.
Like, I mean, and sometimes it matters, sometimes it doesn't. Like, sometimes people like vapid shit.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell when something's authentic and real.
Yeah. Well, it's like, some people like structure and stuff, and like you know what you're gonna fucking get with a certain thing. But
did you know with this band like right away that it was something like different compared to all your other bands? Like, could like you feel? Because I think for us, like me and Garrett played in bands together forever, and it was like every single one, I was like, oh, this is cool, and like we actually like had some like local bands that like did well. You know? We like brought like 900 people to our album.
900.
Yeah,
that's really
like,
good.
It was crazy. But then when this band started, it was like instantly it was like, this just feels different. Like, is that kind of how it
yeah.
was?
I mean, that could have just been because I was a lot more educated as far as like what to do.
Totally.
And, I mean, with this one, I was like, okay, well, I've got this kind of vision, blah, blah, blah. I want it to look like this. I want to be like this. And it's just gotten more and more evolved, you know, as we've done it. I mean, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was very thought out. You know, with our first show, we booked it like, because I mean, I did the first EP like myself, and then I was like, okay, it needs to be a band.
Yeah.
So I only knew two drummers, and one of them just was not gonna happen. So I was like, all right, Otto's a good drummer, and because I'd been in a band with him before, it was it wasn't a good band, but it was a lot more experimental and almost kind of proggy. It just wasn't
really
fun. Yeah.
That's
kind of
cool.
I'm really glad our EP never came out. We recorded one.
I would think that people would be very surprised.
Yeah.
That the dude from Water Park just in a
no, seriously, the songs are like fucking 4 or 5 minutes long, and they're all riffy. It wasn't fun to play. It was like Fall of Troy kind of stuff. Like,
because
I'd be like doing a lead and singing. It wasn't fun to perform. So with this one, and like the thing is, I think the reason I did that was because with the first couple bands I was doing, the music was a lot more simple, and that naturally. And again, this is such a dumb reason to kind of switch over to that, but I know we'd receive, or you'd get a lot of shit from people like, oh, it's just fucking bullshit power chords dumb, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay, well, I could do more, you know? And so I think that band was literally just a backlash from like bitter, like local guys.
Yeah, which is such like an easy response to have. Totally. Like, I feel like at like times in our career, like we just like, all right, we're going to make a record like this because everyone's calling us that and fuck you.
All right, but it's such a, like, ugh.
And then, like, over time you realize, like, hey, that's right. Like, let's just be us, you know? Like,
We considered, you know, Born of Osiris, right?
Yeah.
The band?
I don't know if I'm...
Okay, it's like a major, like, metal kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait, do you guys do, like, sponsored shit on here?
No.
Oh, okay, cool. Then I can pull it up. We were talking about covering one of their songs called Follow the Signs just to make people shut the fuck up. Like, this is in, I think, 2014 or 15. But the last part of it, there's this ridiculous guitar thing. And it was so hard, but I learned most of it. Hang on. Ooh, like, dude. Yeah. Wait for it. Here. Nothing happened. Yeah, like, I learned how to play this, and I was like, you just record it and put it out, and then no one could say anything. Because, yeah, again, when this band started, everybody was like, bullshit, power chord, pop, fuck it, whatever. But, here.
Also, another, like, video game.
Yep,
with dragons and swords.
That's just not a song. That's just not my music.
Dude, it was so fun to play though. Like just that last part. Yeah, yeah.
You can appreciate it, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. But again, like it was definitely the band I did before this, like the prog year one. That was definitely like just a response to like, you know, the local dudes. I just wanted to be like, nuh-uh. It's a musician's band.
It's so funny, like, once you get past that, like, the local feeling, where it's like, everything matters, and, like, everything's so important. Oh, we're gonna show, like, if you fuck up one thing, you're just like, oh my god.
Well, see, it's a bummer, though, because you get to play, like, once a month when you're local.
Yeah, and that's why it matters so much. Yeah, exactly. It's so funny, like, getting past that, and be like, I mean, I fuck up every show.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Every single show.
Same.
But then there's another show.
Yeah. Exactly. The next day, you're like, nah, I'll get it tomorrow. It's not like, ah, shit, I promoted for a month. I was outside all these shows with flyers and blah, blah, blah. And then I fucked up.
And there's, you know, there's kind of the thing that's like, once you kind of are breaking out of the local thing, every other local band just hates you.
Yeah. No, they really
did. So much shit about us. I mean, we had, I mean, it's like... beef to like this day that hasn't gotten like
so resolved ridiculous.
With like people that were like best friends of ours.
Yeah.
Like just because like
no, they're so salty. Like people like it's weird though. It's kind of it's slightly freeing in a way though.
Oh yeah, because you're just like oh fuck it, dude.
Well, because like when we started Water Parks, it was like there's the whole like pop punk thing going on.
Yeah.
All the bands were like, yo man, like we should do shows and blah blah blah. And we started to do kind of well, and all of a sudden they're all like, fuck you, man. It's like okay, I didn't care to be friends with any of them anyway.
Yeah.
So it's just like, okay, now I don't have to like do stupid handshakes at local shows. Nice.
What's up, man?
Yeah.
For a week.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the inspiration for this band as far as like what were you into at the time? Like what, you know,
like band wise?
Yeah, like bands and like I guess like what was the aim in the beginning? Like
When this started, I wanted to make a band that was like, do you know who Head Automatica is?
Yeah.
Head Automatica.
Huge fan, yeah.
Fall Out Boy and Kesha. Those are like my favorites. They're still some like pretty much my favorites, but wow. I was like, I want to make a band that's like all of that.
Cool.
Yeah. I would think you accomplished that.
Yeah.
That's like wow. Yeah, that's super interesting to hear because I think that kind of like
nails it. Yeah,
no, that's what I wanted it to be. Like I was like 19. I was like, I fucking love Head Automatica. I love Fall Out Boy. Like Pete's my favorite lyricist, and like Kesha's literally one of my favorites ever.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Did you see the Jerry Seinfeld not hug?
Yeah, I was like, dude, he's a fucking dick. Like seriously, like just hug her. Like even if you don't know who it is, it's like, dude, just fucking hug the person.
Yeah,
like it's fine.
When we were in Australia in like 2010, and
which we are now also.
We're also in Australia. Derek, do you remember this?
Yeah.
So Derek from Mayday Parade. Mm-hmm. We were all at like a club or something after the show, and Kesha walks in.
What?
Holy shit! Kesha walks in, and he was wearing like a vintage like rock and roll shirt. I don't know, right. Like fucking.
I thought it was just a normal ass hoodie.
Poison or some shit. I don't know. Some.
It was just it was just okay. Not crazy. It was just a shirt,
right? And she was like, "I need that shirt. Like, I want that shirt." And he took off his shirt.
Yes!
In the club.
Yes!
And gave it to her.
That's fucking great. That's well, exactly what you should do.
We stole her cap.
Yeah.
You and what?
John,
right?
Yeah, so me and John were like, I mean, I'm really, like, we were just tired. We were just going to go back to the hotel. And was she leaving or was she getting there?
She was leaving, I think, at the same, I don't know.
Something.
Yeah.
And me and John ended up getting in her cab. And her security guard was like, no. And we got like kicked out of the cab.
Oh, dude, that's so fucking tight. I want to interact with Kesha, man. Damn.
She seemed nice.
Yeah.
She deserved a hug, I think.
Yo, for sure, dude. Larry David, motherfucker.
That's awesome. So, all right. So then things kind of, you guys built something in the local scene and things on the internet. Was it what I guess at the time? I mean, Twitter and Instagram and stuff was because you guys were
Instagram.
After
it was like just
the
starting.
MySpace thing. You guys were after that.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely Twitter and Facebook. I mean, Facebook's just never been helpful, but Facebook.
Yeah.
It's really been, and like we used to do a lot of YouTube videos too.
Okay.
A lot of them are like. I decided, I was like, you know what? Let's do some quality control.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, I made them unlisted. So it's like, you can still find the links and everything.
Yeah.
But they're not like, so if you actually dig back, if someone cares enough, you can find all the stuff. So people actually at one of the shows the other day, they're like, I found the video where Jeff gets his nose pierced. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh yeah. It's like unlisted right now, but cool.
it's there.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like people can find it if they care. And
so no one could be like, fuck you deleted them. Yeah.
Right. Right. Cause we didn't. We just made some exclusives.
So one of the interesting things I think is that, so I think a lot of people are under the impression that like Benji and Joel discovered you guys and then put you through this whole like machine and stuff, which actually you gained your own following, got signed.
Yeah, we were signed before we knew them.
To Equalvision. Then started like working with them.
Yeah, I've seen stuff online where it's like, I've seen theories about us being industry plants. I'm like, dude, we'd be so fucking rich if we were industry plants. Like, I would love that.
I mean, like, we got the same shit. Like, when we like first started, it was like, I mean, we like wore like matching outfits.
Right.
Well,
it's just marketing. Like,
and we like made a record with Matt Squire, who was doing all the, you know, the pop punk bands at the time, and like every other band, like we got, and like we were doing like really good on the internet and stuff. And we got so much shit, and it was like,
well, it's because
boy band, you know, it was like people like basically like thought of us as a boy band that played guitars, you know, which, and I feel like you guys kind of,
dude, I tell people we're a boy band,
getting lumped into that same kind of thing that happened to us on our first record. And you guys are kind of, you know, you just put out your second record. So it's interesting to talk about that time period because we've been through it and you're kind of experiencing it now. And
you guys know what's going on.
Does that like fuck with you at all? You don't care.
Yeah. Like the thing is, anyone who says any shit like that, they're all just bitter dudes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, for I've said this before, but you know, like a lot of guys, it seems like I realized this when I'd be promoting, like passing out flyers or CDs. I mean, we did it. I can't even tell you how many nights.
Yeah.
And like a lot of guys would, you know, especially if they were like beardy or like bigger, like. You know, built dudes or whatever, they would immediately just be like, fuck you, or like drop some homophobic shit on you or whatever. It's like, I think a lot of guys are afraid to align themselves with anything they deem like not masculine enough for their identity. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it honestly, until 5-6 years into our band, there were probably two dudes at every one of our shows.
Right.
And then now there's a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think some of that helped with like, the pop punk thing kind of coming back, and like I just feel like
a lot of dudes, when all the hardcore guys decided Newfound Glory was tight again, and made
like
all
a
the
lot of
yeah
dudes, I feel like weren't at least in this scene, weren't really going to shows. Mm-hmm. I feel like, and so it was like, I Real Friends and stuff coming back, like doing their thing, kind of like brought in
guys,
younger guys to like come back to shows, and it was like cool to go, like, because it was cool, like when I was younger, it was like you'd go to a show with your girlfriend, and and it was like it didn't matter, like you'd go see Saves the Day or King of My Sunday, and it's like you both like the same shit.
So
my girlfriend loved you guys when I was 15, by the way.
That's what you were saying last night, that that you hated John because she loved
him. She had the poster, and I was just like, man, goddamn.
Yeah. That's awesome. So how did Benji and Joel get involved then? How did
We signed to Equal Vision, and then we were going to make – well, first they were like, we're going to put out a single and tour. I was like, I don't want a tour on a single. That doesn't make any sense. Like, I was like, let's at least do like an EP. Because I didn't want to rush into an album. I wanted to wait for an album until I felt like people would care.
Because
it's like there's no point in putting out and pushing a product that there's no demand for.
And if you feel like maybe you wasted a good
– Yeah, exactly. I wanted it to be like debut album, like once there was an audience.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense.
We were going to make this EP called Cluster. Mm-hmm. So they gave us a bunch of options of people. They're like, hey, so who do you want to make it with? And the Maddens were on there, on that list. And so I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, yeah. And I put them like towards the top. I think they were like top three. And so they heard it and they were like, oh my God, this is tight. Like it was just like, you know, demos or stuff we did friends' garages.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, their engineer guy, their in-house dude, Courtney Ballard, he also heard it and was like, this is sick. And then they both came to each other and they're like, hey, there's this band, Waterparks. And I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
And then one day Joel hit us up on DMs on Twitter. And I was just like, what
the fuck?
Yeah. And so we were actually scheduled to go out to LA like maybe 3 weeks later to go look at studios and everything, or like meet people and just kind of see, like feel things out. And he was like, hey, like he was talking to our label and everything, and our A&R called me and was like, hey, so what are you doing tomorrow around like noon? I was like, I think I'm teaching some guitar lessons, or I don't know. That's what I was at the time. And she was like, okay, well, do you guys want to be in LA and have lunch with the Maddens? I was like, we'd like to do that, please.
I would definitely like to do that.
Yeah, let's do that thing. And so got off the call. And Jeff and Otto were both out of off time at work because, when we promote or play shows or whatever, if we were out of town, they'd have to take off. And they were way past all their time. So I was like, so I think you guys have to quit your jobs because we're going to LA like 3 weeks early. And Jeff and I were like, fuck yeah, let's buy swimsuits, California, woo! And we did. And the next day we're out there and we're just like, we met them at this hotel. We went out, had lunch, and they were like, hey, so we're making a management group called MDDN. We've been working on it for a while. Well, and explained what it was going to be about. And they didn't have anybody yet. And we're just like, and they're like, so do you guys want to be a part of it? It's like, yes, please. Yeah. And we got back to our hotel room. And we're just like, what is happening right now? It was ridiculous. But
was that the first time it felt like, oh, shit, stuff's about to get wild?
Kind of, yeah. Like, honestly, most things don't feel real.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so it's hard to like
process it. Yeah.
You can't, like, especially in the moment. It's,
yeah.
If it's something that crazy, you're like, I've seen them in crazy magazines.
I was getting dressed in fourth grade watching their music videos on VH1 every fucking morning.
Yeah, now you're eating a salad with them.
Right, exactly.
It's like, oh yeah, our first like major tour was opening for them.
Dang, that's
so sick. It was us, Metro Station, them,
the Bamboozle Roadshow,
Boys Like Girls.
Okay,
and
it was the summer before that.
Yeah. So we get to Chicago, and it's the first show, and it's like 5,000 people.
Oh my God.
Like we had never played to more than a couple hundred people or whatever, and instantly, like, they were just the best.
Well, I was like, there's like, no way we're gonna meet them. We were all like, on the way to the show, we're like, there's no fucking way
we're gonna meet them.
And then they're
17,
hanging out,
they're
like,
they just walk in, smoke, walk into the dressing room. I think they don't smoke anymore, but at the time, they smoked cigarettes, and they're just, it was like, no smoking signs everywhere, and they're just like,
nah, boy.
And then they're just like the coolest fucking dudes.
No, they're
and
great.
Like they like really, I mean, showed us how to be a band. Mm-hmm. Like And we had no, like, affiliation with them.
Right.
Like, besides the fact that we were on tour with them.
Yeah.
And they just really, like, took us under their wing and just, like, I mean, I think the reason that we treat bands the way we do on on headlining tours, yeah, the reason that we do all these things that we do is, like, because of them. And,
well, then,
like,
why do you spit on me so much?
I'm sorry, man. It's my birthday, all right?
It's your birthday. It's like, it's my birthday. I will spit on y'all. I don't care.
But, yeah, so it was just so insane, and I think, you know, it's so awesome that you guys, like, work them, and I think it's you know, I'm sure it's just helped an incredible amount.
Dude, I can't even describe how much they've helped.
Yeah.
Like, they're the best, like, out, like with the band and even outside of it. Like, they're just the best people to have as, like, mentors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, and it's like, the thing is, they're not, like, typical managers. They're not just trying to force you into shit for paychecks. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
because they're in a band.
Yeah, they've been on this side of it. They know what's up. And so they're like, okay, this is what sucks when you're an artist, and this is what's cool.
Yeah.
And then they treat you accordingly.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome. Like, there have been times where there have been cool opportunities, and I just haven't felt right about it. Or, like, in the grand scheme of things, I'm like, I don't like that look.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, totally. Even if we'd, like, get paid off it, if I'm just like, I don't think that's good for us in the long run.
Yeah.
Like, they'll back it up.
Yeah. Because they and how involved are, I mean, because I know they're kind of watching the big picture of everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, on, like, a day-to-day basis, are they involved? Or is it more, like, big picture stuff?
Like we do have, like, day-to-day people who help us out, like, sharing and stuff. But they're actually really involved. I mean, I pretty much talked to them. Actually, before we were getting on the flight yesterday, I was on a call with Benji about, like, this thing we're working on.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, I mean, like, they're extremely involved in, like, everything. If there's any kind of concern or whatever, I'll just be like, yo, what up? And then, you know,
help me.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, the thing is, they work so fucking hard, but they're always
available.
Like, like, one of them, they keep switching off. I think they're doing some stuff with Jesse J, but they're literally in China still answering my calls and shit.
That's crazy.
Like, they're so good at what they do. It's awesome.
That's sweet. Good dudes.
Awesome.
So how has it felt kind of going from, you know, being a, you know, like you said, getting dressed in your room, listening to Good Charlotte, and then, you know, continuing to be, you know, into all these bands, and then now you're kind of on the inside of it. And now, how has it felt kind of growing an audience, and now you're doing headlining tours and playing, you know, House of Blues, and you know, and, like, you guys are, like,
we're doing the thing.
You guys are a real band. Like, how does that?
I can't even, like, it's hard to pinpoint. You know what I mean? Just,
yeah.
I mean, like, it's very much a good thing. Like, some days it gets overwhelming when there's, like, a lot of stuff going on, or I don't have enough sleep or whatever, or a combination of the two.
Yeah.
But then you just have to remind yourself, like, yo, you worked very hard and did this shit super on purpose. Like, you're getting what you want. And it's fucking insane. Like, I would have given my littlest toe to have, like, a feature in Kerrang. And now, like, once a week we're, like, on calls doing, like, features and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh shit. Like, honestly, it's kind of hard to stop and look back at everything that we've, because the last 2 years have been straight touring.
Yeah.
We're like working on, if we're not touring, we're making albums.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, you guys are in that moment where it's like, you're in it. You can't pause it right now.
Exactly.
You know? Like, you guys are, like, just starting.
And
you
there's
know?
So
it's
much
just
in,
like,
front of us that it's like, it's hard to stop and look back. Cause, you know, it's like, you don't want to.
You can't. Yeah. If you do, then you might fucking
right, exactly.
Lose it, and you might fall.
I'm just driving the race car right now.
Yeah,
that's all
it's
is.
Like, fucking go forward and don't look, or don't look to your side. Just keep down the path.
Eventually, I'll look back and be like, "Damn, that was sick." For now, I'm kind of just looking at everything that's, you know, ahead of us.
Do you feel pressure to, like, you know, I'm sure you know, the record label and your booking agent and all these things. You know, I mean, you guys are kind of like, I would describe it like, there's certain bands that come along in the scene that have kind of the, like, Beatlemania kind of a thing to it. Like,
Never Shout Never, I would say. Maybe it was like the last time that I remember like us really seeing that, and that's kind of what I would compare as like kind of happening to you guys, and that
it's super weird.
Like the audience is that rabid, you know, and like that excited. Mm-hmm. Do you recognize that's happening? Like you know, I mean, you know, you guys online presence, you know, I mean, there's so many people, and it's kind of insane. You know, it's like you're on the cover of one magazine one month and then the next, and then on this tour and that tour and this, and it's all, you know, which like for us in like 2008 was exactly, you know, we went through the exact same thing, you know, like I remember it was basically felt like we were like Babe Ruthing and things, because like I remember in a van with Gary, I was like, man, we should next we'll do the we'll like co-headline the AP tour and then we'll do Warp tour and then we'll do this and that mm-hmm. and it was just like sure
exactly
and it just fucking happened
yeah
I mean
that's how it works
I mean
yeah. Law of attraction
like we were like, you know, we'd been busting our ass and continued and continue have been, but like when you're in that moment when you're in the middle of the storm it's things just are happening and it's insane. I mean, are you recognizing that you're in that moment right now?
Yes. Like,
because it doesn't last forever.
Yeah. I mean, like, so right now, you know,
it's easy to convince yourself that it will. But.
No, I know. See, that's why I'm investing in all those bitcoins for when shit goes south and no one cares
it's
anymore.
It's down right now. Bitcoin's down right now.
Yeah, that's what I do. I'm investing in fake money like that and real shit right now. So it'll be good. I just gotta.
No, I'm just fucking with you.
No, it's really wild. I mean, now, like, when I go to Target, I'll, like, run into people.
Yeah.
Or, like, at the mall. Or, you know, I'll go into Hot Topic, and I'm like, there's our fucking shirt right there.
Yeah,
oh,
and
my God.
Your face is probably somewhere in that store.
Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah, actually, I went there before we left. I think it was the day before. I went and actually bought the AP.
Cool.
That I'm on right now.
It's a cool cover.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, dude, I love it so much. Like, we wanted to do something, like, really different with it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When we got the first... like draft of it, I was like, oh man, I hope it stays plain like this. I hope they don't put a bunch of shit on it. Like,
yeah,
a bunch of posters inside. Like, I just,
that's
it looks
awesome,
so clean.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, eventually I'm going to frame it and then not tell anybody that I framed it.
But the, fucking AP, man.
Yeah. So, dude.
That's sick.
Is it, Are you feeling like you have every opportunity that you want right now? Is it like,
pretty much? I mean, a lot of them. The thing is,
yeah.
I don't. It's actually not every opportunity because, I mean, I've got a very extensive bucket list, and I add more stuff to it all the time.
Yeah. Is that from the beginning or?
I had it pulled up earlier because, like I said, I was talking to Craig.
I'd be very interested.
I don't want to tell you a bunch of them because, well, the thing is. If I don't reach those things, then I'll be a loser.
That's the whole thing is you aim for stuff and then you don't get there, but you get way further than
you
would.
Well, dude, like the number one thing, it's like tour, buy a trailer, buy a van, get signed, get management, get a full page in AP, get the cover of AP, headline a tour. Like like all those things are marked off. Like there's like I want to be in Kids Bop.
This is interesting. So you guys, you had a very specific goals in mind.
I've got very specific shit on here. Like it's
a long list.
Yeah, I told you I add more stuff to it all the time.
Will you just tell me like number like 57?
Number 57. Hang on. 1, 2. You guys do elevator music. 3, 4.
That's all. Yep.
He's getting there.
He's
getting there. Being a Vans ad is number 57.
Ah.
All right.
Yeah.
Have you talked to Vans yet?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Look at that.
Dude, there's
that's
so many.
That's pure happiness right there.
There's so many things on this list that we're like semi-close to.
That's fucking cool, man.
Yeah. One of them's awesome. A fragrance. I'm going to make a fucking fragrance, dude.
Oh,
yeah, I'm a full-on Taylor Swift that shit.
What are you going to call it?
Actually, we've got a few things. Well, these are all creepy joke ones, but they're like premonition, and you got to whisper them.
Yeah.
Predator.
Predator.
Yeah, but you have to whisper.
Like
they're all weird.
Like a creep or like the movie Predator.
I mean, Predator's creepy.
It's true. But he doesn't have a mustache.
We don't know.
Oh, I've seen him.
Have you?
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
Well, it's exciting to see a band, you know, have the kind of ambition that you have. You know, I think there's a lot. Because, like, we had that, you know, or I mean, we continue to. But I think a lot of newer bands coming out, you know, it's like when we were starting out, it's like we were seeing Fall Out Boy and Good Charlotte and bands on the radio. So it felt possible. And then now there's been this gap where that kind of hasn't been a thing, right?
Well, just culturally, I don't think that's where music is.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's caused a lot of bands to kind of tame their expectations a little bit. Because it's just, you know, and like you obviously haven't done that, you know?
Right.
It's all about lists, I guess.
Yeah.
I make lists for everything.
So if there's anybody in a band out there that wants to have success, just make a list.
Really?
With more than 50, what was that, 57?
That was number 57, but there's at least like 100.
It seemed like there was a lot more.
There were. Yeah.
Oh, shit. I got to talk about the AP, the way you guys dressed at the AP Awards. You know what's fucking crazy?
What?
So every time we've gone twice.
Yeah, yeah.
We always try to wear something like just totally crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
So last year we didn't go, but we were going to do that.
Seriously?
Yeah. I'm not fucking around.
And damn.
I was super mad at you guys.
My bad. Well, dude, that wasn't our first idea.
We should probably explain what they did so people that
We dressed up as bushes or like the camo
hunting shit.
Yeah.
What's that called?
It's called I know the word.
Ghillie?
Yeah, ghillie
suit. Yeah,
that's what it is. Yeah. Actually, I gave mine to someone from Pierce the Veil, and like his we wound up in the same limo as them on the way back to our hotel. And I was like, "You want a ghillie suit?" He's like, "Okay." Yeah.
Dude, that's so funny.
Wait, how did you have that idea?
I mean, we just.
Well, yeah, that's a dumb thing. I hate when people ask that. It's just like, oh, we just said it.
Well,
yeah,
you know what else is weird is the Kering, or was it Kering? Rock Sound.
Rock Sound.
You guys did the big suits.
The what?
You had big suits.
Oh yeah, Rock Sound. Yeah,
we fucking did that too.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, shit. Wait, you did it or
we
wanted
did it
to?
At the first APs.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And we had the big. So we were doing the David Byrne talking heads thing. And then,
what was the inspiration?
I will
for
explain
you
that. So we did a photo shoot for it, and then they said whoever the director of whatever was said weren't dressed fancy enough, and so we're back at home. We just had a couple days, and I was just like, dude, I am not wanting to buy a suit right now. So I literally just got all my dad's suits out from his closet, and I was like, we're gonna look so fucking fancy in my dad's clothes.
Oh,
and
my
so
God.
Like the thing is, Jeff's bigger than us, like taller and like just bigger in general. So he's semi-fit. So like the joke wasn't that funny with him.
Yeah.
But with Otto and I was like, it looked so ridiculous. And like we left the coat hanger in.
It's all like squared off.
Yeah. So yeah, those are my dad's. That's like the backstory behind
that. That's so funny. I think we bought ours the day before the APMA, the first one.
Dude, yeah.
And we were just, and the same thing, because Jared's bigger than all, just a bigger
right.
dude. And yeah, his fit a little more than Pat's.
So it's
yeah, I think with, because we've been to the APMAs twice, and both times we've gotten our clothes either day of or like night before.
Yeah.
Because you know, the other time we got like the Adidas track suits, and we all had a different color. And that was tight.
That's a good, that look is actually happening again right now.
I know. Fucking trendsetters. What?
that's awesome. So I want to talk about, you're very, I think one of the things I like is that you're not afraid to speak your mind on the internet.
That's true. Actually, I just shit all over this venue like right before I came down here on our live stream.
Really?
Yeah, well, because they were all like, someone on our live stream was like, hey, this venue Walters is closing down. I was like, yo, fuck Walters. Good. I'm glad. I hope they closed twice.
We've played there before, yeah.
Yeah, no, they fucked us. And like when we didn't matter in like 2014, we were doing an EP release show. And the thing is, I used to do everything for us. I booked our show. I rented out the room. I like put down the down payment. I designed the tickets, printed them up, sold like over 100 of them. This is for our second EP. And like so it was like before it was out. Put posters everywhere, flyered at a bunch of shows, probably one of y'all's. And then they were all like, oh, so this hardcore band is coming through and we need the room, sorry. I was just like, what?
Whoa,
yeah, so shout out Warehouse Live, they saved us.
Fucked up.
Yeah. So yeah, this is like, I don't know, I mean,
You know, I think, you know, and then, yeah, so I think the like, tweet, which I think is very bold about your record label. I would imagine you got some crap for that. I would imagine you got a call from either Benji or Joel.
It was Benji. Like,
so yeah, what happened there? Was like,
dude, honestly, there's a lot of stuff. Because I shouldn't get into too many specifics, but
like, well, we've had so much shit with, which is why we were talking like last night about how we've been off of record labels for a long time. I mean, we made a documentary just talking crap about
our, oh shit, I want to watch that.
Our record Pioneer, we had a letter in it that we wrote to the label. Mm-hmm. It's in the CD of how we wanted to
get off of the label. We printed it in the artwork.
Did they not have any say in like designing it
we kind of like went behind their back and they didn't know. And yeah, I mean,
that's so fucking funny. Yeah.
But just basically, it's like, you know, the only people that are going to be as interested in the good of your art is yourself.
Exactly. No one cares about you as much as you, like your band as much as you do. Totally. No matter what.
Yeah. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Care about us.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think like, you know, you're not afraid to say what's on your mind.
It's true. Like,
you know, because I think a lot of people in your situation would be trying to not rock the boat, because this is the people that have to then go and promote your record.
Right.
You know?
I mean, dude, it's 2018. Like, people can tell when shit's not authentic. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just always sort of been that way online, just in life in general. Yeah. Not to sound like fake woke or whatever, but I mean...
Do you feel like you guys have had struggles with the industry in that way? Like in,
I know I joke around a lot and everything, but with, you know, our music and our art and everything, I'm very specific and very involved and like passionate about all of it without sounding fucking lame. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
As you should be.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's really the only. It is the number one thing in your band. Like I can have weird hair all day, but like the music is the number one thing. Yeah. And when I feel like a product is being mishandled, or you know things are just aren't being taken care of, or you know things are mismanaged or messy or just fucked up, I get mad because I'm like, dude, this is my fucking life. I put everything into this right here. Mm-hmm. This release is like. There's so much shit that should technically be just mine, but I'm giving it to the world out here through all of this. I'm sorry for sounding fucking lame.
No.
I mean, you're just an emotional dude. Like,
well, yeah, I mean,
that's fine.
And when I see it being when I feel like it's being carelessly handled, I get mad. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Yeah, and like when there's a night I really went off. And it was because they fucked something up. And I was like, hey, I'm not down with this, blah, 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 blah. And I had management kind of figuring it out.
Yeah.
And then they came to me and were like, hey, so they don't want to fix it. And, you know, it could just be like one of those things. Well, I was like, no, fuck that. And so I went online. I was just like, you piece of shit. Fuck you, fucking piece of shit. And, well,
did you get what you wanted?
Yeah, the next day.
Then it fucking worked.
I know.
And did,
I was just like, oh shit, okay, doing, like, taking the low road kind of got me what I needed.
And you had conversations after that to kind of patch things up with that? No.
I don't really talk to the label very much.
Yeah. And how many records do you have in your deal left? You don't know.
We'll talk about that after.
I think it's cool. I like seeing. I mean, like all my favorite bands were fucking rebels. You know, like like
Tom Petty and
fucking
and Wilco and all these artists.
The Replacements.
That,
it's right. Like, all these dudes are like.
You have to fight for your art.
Dude,
you know.
You have to be real and you've got to.
We fucking. Paid for this record to be made, right?
That's badass.
Like, on our own, we recorded it in secret. We walk in, put it on our A&R guy's desk, and we're like, we have a surprise. And he goes, "This is a quote." He said, "If this is a new record, I will come on this table right now." Excitement.
Did he come?
And we're like, "Yeah, here it is." and he didn't like it.
God damn.
He did not come. He had no boner.
So then for a year we fucking, I mean, I remember being on a bus.
Which album was this?
Pioneer.
Okay.
Which and I remember just being on a bus in fucking England at like 5:30 in the morning.
Right.
And I'm just talking to the phone. I'm just screaming like, we're fucking putting this record out. Our fans are hearing this record. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, and we just fought like hell for a year. That's good, though. We like made that the letter, made the documentary, just did whatever, and like it's ended up like panning out. And obviously now we've learned how to handle things probably in more of like a mature way. But like sometimes you do have to kick and scream
you do.
A little bit, you know?
Like, dude, the thing is, that's like that's fucking punk. Like to do, like to put a fucking letter in your album, shitting on the label that's putting it out. That's fucking punk. Like, dude, no one does like dangerous shit. Everybody's very fucking soft, and it's just like.
Well, it comes from fear that you're gonna lose it. Like for some reason, like you kind of at some point you kind of forget that you are the one that got you in this situation, not them.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, and if you lose that, then this is all going to go away because
you don't have anything,
because when they came along, maybe it did jump to the next thing.
Right.
But it was because what you did, not that you were in a magazine.
Like, right. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, like.
Well, someone asked me the other day. I remember it wasn't even in like an interview. It was like one of my friends. It was something to the effect of like, do you worry that someone could come along and do like who has a, like an actual budget, you know, because we're on an indie label.
Yeah.
And do you worry that somebody with like a budget and real marketing and a push and all that can come along and just do what you're doing and, you know, take off with it?
Like, like a different band, you mean?
Yeah. And I just said like no, like that, like they can't fucking do that.
Well,
like,
I mean, they can have their own success, but so right. I mean, it's just that, like you guys are your own band.
And like I told them, I was like, dude, in the least fucking egotistical way, no one can fucking do what I do.
Yeah.
And like that should be the case with every. If you're remotely individual, like that should be the case.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Like,
well, you definitely have a vibe, and like I remember the first time I heard about you guys was on Warped.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, and it was like everyone was kind of talking about you guys. Like,
that's what I heard.
It was like it was the thing, and it was like, and so I walked by and checked you guys out, and I was like, I could tell instantly. I was like, oh, something's happening.
Yeah.
You know.
Thank
like,
you.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. It's like, if it's real, like you're saying a bunch of times on this, it's like people can sniff out bullshit.
Exactly.
And
like,
that's just not
dude, yeah, like,
and you're, I think, you're unapologetic about trying to be big. You know, when you're saying that Kesha is a major influence, nobody would say that.
Dude, so many bands, it bums me the fuck out. Like, it's like they're scared to say they want success. And it's like, I'd quit college for this.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be a fucking bum when I'm 30. I want us to be the fucking biggest band.
Yeah.
Like, every band should want that. You should want the best for yourself. Fucking self-love 2K18, motherfucker. Yeah. Like you should want the best for you at all times in every way.
I feel like the like, early 2000s, like, indie rock thing is, like, there's the difference. It's like, you know, the Strokes were like huge or whatever, but the Killers wanted to be a massive band.
Right.
And that's why they're still fucking here and they're like playing arenas. You know?
Well, like, back then, everybody was so scared of the fucking word sellout.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you remember that feeling though?
We're like now, like that's not even a word. Anymore. Yeah.
See,
like,
and so I wasn't even relevant enough back then to be called a sellout because I was like 16.
Yeah.
But I remember that was like the thing that everybody was afraid of. Actually,
liking bands. It's like, I don't want to like the sellout band.
Like Green Day. Like when American Idiot came out, everyone's like, sellouts. It's like, dude, I know how to play this whole album.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah, and then the other thing on that kind of same topic is then you put out a letter right before the record came out, you know, saying that for a while you didn't enjoy the record, you know. And that's also very, like, your record label would advise against that.
Right.
I would assume because it's
for a while,
it's like, you're going to, like, tell people that you're not into the art that you're making,
well,
you know?
See, again, it's like it was – oh, sorry.
No, you're good.
Okay. It wasn't, like, the songs it was the content of the songs. It wasn't like a stylistic thing. It wasn't like the label was like, we need you to make this. Like, I mean, like I told you yesterday, I made the whole thing without showing anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, or we made the whole thing without showing anybody. And, it was just,
It's literally just from because for like personal reasons, like the content of the songs, like
yeah.
what and who and all that stuff. I wrote the lyrics about it. Just it went like after the album was done, it all went very, very, very bad.
Yeah,
and it was actually on the Made in America tour, the headliner we did, that kind of backed away from that situation.
Yeah,
and it just made it to where. I just didn't like it. I was just like, fuck, dude. Like,
yeah.
Like
I was saying, well, cause I mean, it's, I'm sure it's painful to
yeah.
hear words that you wrote about something or a person. And
I
then,
feel fucking stupid. You know what I mean? Like hearing certain things, it's like,
yeah,
because you think things are a certain way and then you find out later, like, oh, this, all this shit's going on. Okay. Well, fuck me then.
Yeah,
you know,
totally. Yeah,
I mean, and I think you find yeah, just in general in life that like most things that you think are a certain way aren't, you know, because everyone makes up a story in their mind about what the reality of anything
well,
is.
Right. And it's your story, and you want to be the hero of it, and you don't want the bad things to happen.
Right, nobody's the bad guy in their own story.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like you're, you know, you protect yourself. Your ego protects yourself from actually experiencing the world how it actually is, and it's really right. hard to break through that, you know.
All right. I mean, it's like when you put yourself out there in that kind of way, like through lyrics and everything, and say. Hypothetically, with a person, like
yeah.
you put yourself out there, and you're like, "This is how I feel," blah 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 blah. And, I mean, especially with, you know, again, not to put me on any kind of whatever, but when, like, people know who I am, people know what's up, people knew who that person was that, yeah, that and everything. Yeah. And I was like, very like I put everything out there, like
yeah.
we've talked about,
yeah, yeah.
and. It was made very clear how I, you know, felt about all of that. And mm-hmm. I think just kind of felt like maybe ashamed
mm-hmm.
a little bit because it was just like, this is how I felt very, very strongly. And I told fucking everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like my parents are going to hear this shit.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
everybody knows
what,
like,
what had happened or
yeah.
whatever. Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, great. I feel fucking stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I as just a person, I'm not really a lyric writer, but
right.
like, you know, just it, when those things happen in your life where kind of something big happens and you're the center of it and like it, not in a good way.
Right.
It's just a lot to take and like.
Embarrassing almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. That's exactly what it, you know, was. So I just like, fuck dude, I hate this album.
Yeah.
like I want to make the next one. Like, let's just move this shit along. And then, but I was thinking about it and like the idea of having to, cause you know, I mean, you guys are familiar with record deals and shit. You have to tour on them for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And it was like, great. I get to go glorify this shit.
Yeah.
Every night. It's going to, like, and, like the idea of that just felt so disingenuous and, like,
mm-hmm.
dishonest. And it was,
what kind of turn things around for you with that?
I mean, just, I guess turning point was, I mean, I didn't listen to it for a very long time. After that tour, I, started going to therapy and, I mean, just trying to find new outlooks on things and not like, and I mean, I think dissociation helps, not disassociation. Apparently there's a difference, but, stuff. I mean, there's just different techniques to learning things. I mean, and, or dealing with things. And I think, you know, after a while and like giving it some time and kind of just taking a step back and then going to it again and listening, being like, okay, this is going to come out in a few weeks. I'm just going to like, listen. And I was like, okay, like I was, and it was just, I just worked out and everything. It was a morning. I was like, all right, I was in my car and, I just listened again. It was like, okay, these are just really fucking good songs.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think as time passed, you can put it as, oh, that was that moment in my life.
No,
you know?
Exactly.
And like,
and it probably comes, you know, a lot from, you know, for me, it's like, you know, I've had to like figure out like, all right, how can I just be happy with myself,
right?
Regardless of what's happening on the outside in a relationship, in mm-hmm. any of these things. And it's like, all right, I just need to be happy with me.
Right.
And like that comes and goes And regardless, like, I need to be, you know, you need to be happy with yourself.
Well,
you know,
it's not permanent.
Yeah.
You know, the feeling, it's like.
And I think if you get to that point, then you can just appreciate the album for what it is. And, you know.
I think now, like, if I'm going through something crazy, it's like I'm at the age and things have happened enough where I can say that to myself. And, like, you can have that feeling of, like, fuck. And, like, it can overwhelmingly take over,
right?
But then, like, somewhere, like, that little spark in the back of my head's like, oh, this isn't gonna last forever. Like, right. I won't feel this way all the time forever. Like, you know, it will happen again, but it's, you know, you'll have moments of clarity and being okay.
Well, see, records are just, and like, this is again, like, I had this talk with Benji, because I mean, whenever I'm having any kind of like whatever. They're usually the ones I go to. Because, I mean, I don't like taking advice from people I wouldn't, where, like, if I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. I look at them, I'm like, dang, their life is sick. I would very much listen to them about whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, the album was going to come out, and I had the option of changing, because, I mean, I voiced my concerns about it, like, back on the tour, and they said it was too late, and I was like, whatever. But then for, like, reprints of the album, they're like, so do you... Because I wanted to change the thank you section. Just for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him about it, and I was like... And I felt like some... There's, like, a part of me that felt torn about it. And the way he kind of explained it, and I, you know, was able to kind of sit on that thought for a while and expand on it myself, the kind of conclusion I just came to was to just leave it. Because that was a snapshot of back then. It just keeps it more authentic and real. It's like, because taking anything away from that release takes away from, like, the facts.
Well, what actually happened. History.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it just keeps it more real. And, like, even, and, like, looking at it now, and I think it would be seen this way from, like, a fan perspective too. I think it just adds more feeling to it. You know, there's, like, more there's more of a sting when you read the book. I mean, at least there was for me.
There's a story, you know, there, like, now this forever, this is the record that was about that.
Right.
You know, and then I would imagine anybody could guess what the next record's going to be about. It. You know, going to probably be a little bit different, you know.
It's going to be a little different.
Have you started already working on new stuff? I would imagine.
I played the fifth.
Yeah, I played the fifth. But we'll talk about it after.
Always work on shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things are always getting worked on.
Yeah. And, like, regardless if they ever get hurt or not, you can just work on them.
Right.
So what, you know, we're talking about ambition and, you know, all these, like, large goals. Like, where do you see kind of the arc of Water Parks, like, in 5, like, years from now? Like, can you see that far ahead yet as far as where you see things going? Like,
yeah. Well, the thing is, the number one, this might sound dumb too, but whatever. The number one role model I have for me, besides, you know, the Maddens and everything, is the version of me I see 10 years from now.
That's a cool way of thinking.
Yeah. It's like, okay, how do I be that guy? And then do literally everything to be that.
Yeah.
You make lists.
I do. I make a shitload of lists. I'm like, okay, I want to do that and that and that. And to get there, sublist, I've got to do that and that and that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like each one of those things, it's like, do shit every day
to like, get forward there, yourself.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, get on a call and be like, hey, do we know anybody at that company? Let's do this and this and this.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll do a live on their thing and we can do a takeover and then we can do like a custom whatever. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's stuff like that. Like, you can, holy shit, I just got super sidetracked. What was...
Yeah, no, I was just saying kind of like
you and Teddy,
where you see the the arc of the band going and where...
Dude, honestly, I want to be at the point where we've got a shirt next to fucking Green Day and Foo Fighters at goddamn Kohl's. You know what I mean? Like, like, there are only a certain amount of bands that have that thing. Or, like, if you turn on the radio, like, on one of the rock stations, you're going to hear First Date, you know, blank. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear that lit song.
Whatever that song's called.
Right. Worst Enemy song. No, but, like, I mean, I want to be in those ranks. I want to... Like, I want to be one of those bands where, like...
Well, you made a stamp and this is...
Yeah, exactly. Like, dude, if you look at the rock charts on Apple Music, it's a fucking bummer. Because there's basically no new shit.
It's like AC/DC, Lynyrd Skynyrd. It's like, dude, how the fuck is that still the top? When on the top ones for everywhere else, it's all new artists. I mean,
how do you imagine, like, in a landscape where, you know, radio and stuff maybe might not be a thing that can happen for bands like us right now? I mean, how do you imagine? I mean, you think the internet is what?
Yeah, the internet's the future, dude. I mean, Apple Music, Spotify, Pandora, all that shit, all those playlists and everything, that's the new radio.
Yeah, for sure.
100%.
Totally.
Because, I mean, yeah, radio is sick and I still want to have it.
Does it scare you at all seeing like a band that has like 26 million plays on one song and then their next one has like 100,000?
Well, see, that just shows like they're probably on a major label. The major label's pushing one song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's how you become a one-hit wonder. It's not great. That's why, like, with albums, I try and push everything equally. I want everything to have a music video. Like, and the thing is, if I don't think something is our biggest fucking song potentially, it's not going to make
the
album.
Why should it be on the record?
Exactly. Like, everything has to be the best of the best, and enough writing happens to where that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, I wish you guys continued success.
Thank you, dude.
And I think that'll happen. And
yeah, I'm glad we got to like actually hang with you.
Yeah.
It's been sweet dudes, man.
That's the thing, man. Is like, yeah, a lot of times even when you tour with bands like in the U.S., it's harder to like hang, you know, like we're like when you're here, it's like, well, we're at the airport together.
Yeah,
every
exactly.
Day, it's like
we're sharing a vehicle. It's like
we're like getting a juice and talking about
Nathan for you.
Nathan for you or whatever. Yeah. You know? It's like we're like, when you're in the States, it's easy to get in your own cocoon. And
exactly.
Like, hey, I'm just going to hang on the bus.
But when you're isolated together. In like separate
in a
parts of the world,
place where you're like, I don't really know. Where's the bathroom?
Yeah, exactly.
which just like makes it awesome.
Yeah,
makes it good.
Yeah,
so.
Cool, man.
Awesome. Well,
thanks
now,
for talking.
Absolutely, dude. Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
I love podcasts, man.
Yeah,
me too.
Oh yeah, thank you.